in and through his church. It's going to be that way. And then in verse number 14, he's beginning to wind down and sign off and just kind of does some rapid fire with some things, if you will. And he exhorts them. He seeks to exhort them. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." They need to be warned. The pastor needs to do so from preaching the word of God. As brethren, we may need to warn one another. That certainly can be the case. But we need to be warned. Sometimes I might be on the receiving end of the warning. I'm not exempt. Even though I'm pastor, I'm not exempt. They need to be warned. The unruly need to be warned. Because if we are unruly, a couple things happen, right? We bring disgrace to our Lord. The Lord that we claim that saved us, and we bring disgrace to his church, which is his body, which he loves very, very much. And we don't need to be unruly, but we need to be obedient. That's what we're called to, is obedience. And Brother Stephen mentioned about a brother that said that the best thing that we can do one for another is to be obedient to the scripture, not be unruly, but sometimes the unruly need warned. Are you unruly? Don't be. Be warned of the scripture. Be warned of the word of God and repent of it and get it right with the Lord and follow those good, right, true things. Comfort the feeble-minded. That means that in the church there can be those that are indeed feeble-minded. There are those that need comforted. There are those that just struggle to get a handle on full assurance in things and if you will, maybe to be converted, right? I was thinking when Brother Stephen was mentioning this morning about the faith of Abraham and thinking about when the Lord told Peter said, "I'll go to the death with you." And the Lord tells him, says, "You're going to deny me by morning time." And we mentioned that here recently, how when it came time that the rooster crowed the second time, Peter had already denied him three times. The Lord looks over at him. And Peter sees the Lord, and the Lord sees Peter. Now the Lord cared for him. After that point, Peter repented of that. He wept bitterly. He repented of that. And we see a man converted. Abraham was converted. I'm not talking about being saved, but he was converted once Sarah was having the baby, wasn't he? When Sarah conceived, after that we see Abraham believing the Lord all the way through. You know what? Remember what he told, and I was thinking about that. Remember what he told his servant about Isaac? He said, "You get him a wife from our family. Don't get him a wife." See, Abraham is thinking that he's going to die. He knows that he may die any time. And he gets Eliezer and he says, "Don't you get a wife from the women and from the people of this land. You get my son a wife from there." Eliezer says, "But what if I go there and they won't come? Shall I take your son there?" And Abraham says, "No, the Lord will provide him a wife. It'll happen." See, he's got faith. It's going to be. You know, he's sold out for it. Eliezer is saying, "What's the contingency if a woman doesn't follow me back? She'll go ahead and take your son there." He said, "Nope, don't take him there. Don't take him a wife from here. Don't take him back to where we came from. The Lord will bless in it." And of course, we know that he did, didn't he? But there are those that are feeble-minded, and we need to comfort them. We need to comfort those that are weak. There's many ways to be weak. There's many ways to be poor. And we need to be sensitive and empathetic and sympathetic to that. He says also here to support the weak. They're right there connected. We don't need to support sin, but there are those that are weak. And we are to support them. And he says, he wraps this up, kind of the umbrella that goes over this. "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all." Sometimes there needs to be some forbearance. Sometimes there needs to be some long-suffering. Sometimes we got to give things time, and we need to tell what the truth is and tell what the Word of God says and give it some time. Thank the Lord for Him being patient with us. Amen. For the good things in life that and the good things of the Lord that we have been persuaded of the Lord. Thank the Lord that He was patient with me. He was patient with me, and we need to remember that. We need to stand for what's right. We need to represent what's right. But we need to realize that these cases do exist. You know, we're all growing at the same rate, or growing at a different rate. We are. It's just that way. We're spiritually growing at a different rate. And so we need to make allowances for that. We need to not let down on the Word of God and what the truth of God's Word says, but we need to be aware of it. And we need to be, most of all, we need to be in tune to the leadership of the Lord, don't we? There's not a blanket thing to do regarding every situation. The Word of God stands and the truth is there. But maybe in this situation, we wouldn't wait as long. Maybe in this situation, we'd wait longer. Maybe in this situation, we wouldn't wait as much as either one of those. And so we need to know the leadership of the Lord and thing and be blessed with the truth of His Word. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any. Malice, getting back at another, is never to be found amongst the people of the Lord. Run evil for evil, never. Someone does me dirty. I'm not to do them dirty. They've done me dirty, but it was bad, Brother Jim. No. No, I am to look to overcome evil with good. And don't misunderstand. We're to stand for what's true, right? We're to speak the truth. Sometimes speaking the truth is condemning. It's that way. Sometimes even speaking the truth looks like that one's getting back. But it doesn't need to be that way. The motive of our heart needs to be that we stand for the truth, stand for what God's Word says, and not render evil for evil, never. But ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves and to all, inside the church and outside the church. Good is what we need to follow. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, it says, I believe, in the book of Romans. And then we've got these handful of things that he deals with here. Rejoice evermore. Do you rejoice in your Lord and Savior? Tell you what, if you don't rejoice in your Lord and Savior personally, you probably won't do it in public. Think about it. That this is not coming. It is to the church that's being spoken to, but it's members of the church in particular the Lord's put in there. Rejoice evermore. We've got much to be thankful for, don't we? We have everything to rejoice about, don't we? We've been saved. We've been redeemed. We've got a very, very promising future. Amen? We do. Joint heirs with Christ. A home in glory with the Lord. A kingdom that the Lord wants to give us. All the things of salvation, but yet the greatest is that the Lord has given Himself unto us. We'll be there with the Lord. Does the thought of being with the Lord through eternity make you fearful of boredom? I'll be honest with you. In times of my life, I've considered about that. My heart wasn't right concerning it. No, it's not going to be boring with the Lord. Oh, it's going to be great and wonderful. Beyond what you could ever think of. Beyond anything that this world would have to offer. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Brother Jim, I've got to sleep sometimes. The Lord knows that. I've got to eat sometimes. I've got to do my schoolwork. I've got to work otherwise. How can I pray without ceasing? I think that's talking about that we need to understand that the Lord's children is that we're ever present before the Lord. We can call out unto the Lord in a moment's notice. We can, when the Lord impresses upon our heart about a particular one or a particular need for self or for others, right there we can pray. Prayer is not about a particular or qualified form or a certain compilation of right words that this makes it a prayer. But prayer is a petition of our Heavenly Father in the name of our Savior. pray without ceasing. To be there, to know that we walk with the Lord, that He is ever there. We saw something in parallel to that in our study in the book of Proverbs Wednesday night. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. The things that you do, and paraphrase, the passage that I'm trying to think of, I can't get it brought back, but there in Proverbs chapter 16 that we looked at, Proverbs 15, Proverbs 16, that we do it before the Lord and unto the Lord. And the thing is would we want to do wickedness and evil before our Lord? No. So that being the case, let's do it. Good things and good works before the Lord. Pray without ceasing, ever in the presence of the Lord, knowing we can petition Him at any time. Again, the thing that helped me to understand the most about prayer is what's said about lawyers regarding the court. When they want something of the court in our land to do something or to change something, or the judge to modify time or whatever, or some thing that they seek from the court, they make a prayer of the court. They are petitioning the court. They're asking the court for what they desire. Pray without ceasing. Verse number 18, in everything give thanks. James talks to us about this. Count it all joy. Yeah, even in the temptations, even in the trials, count it joy. I struggle with that. I like things the easy way, my way, what's easy on this skin. But in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We pray for the Lord to lead us and direct us and help us, don't we? And then I'm subject to get upset when this breaks and that breaks and the other thing falls apart and all that. But maybe the Lord's keeping us out of trouble, amen? Amen. Maybe it's inconvenient. Maybe it's inconvenient to run out of gas. But maybe we needed that needed to be the case to keep us out of some greater harm. And we need to consider that. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think that not only applies to that verse, but it's the will of the Lord for us to rejoice. It's the will of the Lord for us to pray. And it's also the will of the Lord that we quench not the Spirit. A command, a directive to not quench the Spirit. What is it when you quench? Heat treaters understand about quenching. Take that hot piece of iron, it's maybe cherry red, and then put it in the quenching water. Put it in the quenching oil. And what's it? It lets off steam. It may not sound exactly like that, but you know what I'm saying, right? It goes down there and it's quenched, and it's done so for the process of hardening or changing the physical characteristics of that metal. Quench not the Spirit. Don't be a damper on the Spirit. Don't throw water on the Spirit. A directive for us not to do so means that we can. Right? Stay in there with me. A directive to not do so means that you and I can quench the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit in many ways. We can quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. What's the scripture say here? I think we need to think about these kind of things more. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, when we will be completely redeemed. Our salvation will be complete in not only soul, but in body. A directive to not grieve the Spirit means that you and I can. We can grieve the Spirit. I think namely by our sin, by our lack of faith, by our disobedience. We do not need to grieve the Spirit. Take a look over here in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we're told here to add these things to our faith, right? We're told to add these things to our faith. And in verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things, things, lacketh the adding of these things, lacketh these things in his life, not adding these things to his faith, is blind. Can't see. Cannot see afar off. Is short-sighted, nearsighted, they call it, right? I'm nearsighted. I can see things clearly right about here. But don't add those things to my faith, I'll become blind. I won't be able to see afar off. Can even become to the point where he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Can one forget that they've been saved? If you don't grow, get in bad shape. Would you not agree that Lot was in bad shape? But the scripture tells us he was saved. Would you not agree that Samson was in bad shape? But we know he was saved. The scripture bears it out. And we saw this passage here this morning. Wherefore the rather, verse 10, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Were you called? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, be an evidence in your life. Do you know that you're elected of God? We don't know that we're the Lord's, the chosen of the Lord, other than by repentance and faith. Salvation manifested in us. Make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, not think about them, but do them, pursue them, ye shall never fail. And so, quenching of the spirit, grieving of the spirit, may we be sensitive to not do that. I think we do so with sin, and we certainly do so with doubt, don't we? Oh, I'm a doubter. How can we ever put a roof on this building? How can we do that? May we not doubt our Lord. May we not doubt our Lord. And he can do it without one of us winning the lottery too. Okay? So don't pursue it a way that you don't. And I'm not saying that you would. I would pray that you wouldn't do so. But don't pursue it in a way that would make sense to you. That's kind of pulling an Abraham, isn't it? And a Sarah. We don't need to do that. And then he goes on to say here, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesyings there in 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. Despise not prophesyings. We do not prophesy anymore in the sense that the word of God is being revealed to mankind. We don't do that anymore. Well, that has been done. In 2 Peter chapter 3, take a look over here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Despise not prophesying. The extent to which we prophesy is we tell over what the Word of God says. We tell it again. That's the reason we don't have other books that we bring in to our worship and that we go by. We don't have other books. We've got these 66 books and one book, the Bible. And that this is what we go from. May the Lord help us. Every service, this be what we would go from. Not what men would say, not other writings supposedly from God, which are not. This is the canon of Scripture. This is what we've been given of God. And so it's the Word of God, the reiteration, the telling again of the Word of God that we have is the greatest extent to which we prophesy. We tell it over again. And we don't need to despise it. Don't despise the Word of God. I think about how it was with Moses' wife. She despised that thing of circumcision. But the thing is that token of circumcision was given by the Lord to Abraham as a token to be born in the flesh of the males of God's promise to Abraham and to his seed. She despised it. She hated it. And Moses was guilty of not keeping it early on, which complicated the issue, but she despised it. And here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, right, the return of the Lord, the day of God, and those things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, peace with the Lord, without spot, holy, blameless, it says, verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That he was long-suffering towards us and brought us to salvation, amen? He's doing so for the other brethren too, right? He's not willing that any of his people perish. He's going to bring them all. Guaranteed. And count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation indeed, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. And they've got a pattern of this, as they do also the other scriptures. Peter's saying they do it with the other scriptures. They're doing it with what Paul writes, which is scripture. He said other scriptures, right? So they do it with the Old Testament scriptures. They're doing it with the scriptures that Paul is writing, and they are scriptures. And they rest, they twist, they turn, the word of God comes to them, and they squirm like a worm on a hot fire. They don't want it. They despise prophesying. Despise the word of God. Say, no, it doesn't mean that, it means this. No, it doesn't mean that, it means the other. No, it doesn't apply to me, it applies to them. That's not so. The word of God applies to us all. Unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures. And what happens is, what happens when you and I twist? When we buck against the scripture of the Lord, when we rest, we rise up against this, what the Lord says. What's it say? Unto their own destruction. It will destroy us. And the brother writes these folks at Thessalonica and says, don't despise prophesying. In verse number 21, back in chapter 5, in verse number 21, it says, prove all things. Prove them all. Prove all things. In 1 John chapter 4, what's it say there? Okay. You remember what it says there? Tell you what, we need this. We need this in our day. We do. Good's being called evil. Evil's being called good. All kinds of doctrine and doctrines of devils and such as that about. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets with a false word, with a false prophecy, are going out into the world. Amen. There's doctrine out there of any shape, size, and color, and flavor that you could imagine. But we need to take and determine, is that of the Lord or not? And how do we do so? Right out of his word. It's this book. We compare it to this. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already. Is it in the world? And if it was then, it sure is now, isn't it? It sure is. Prove all things. It says, hold fast. It says there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, hold fast to that which is good. Virtue. There in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says we need to add virtue. Being good. Why would it ever be right for the desire of the child of God to want to be bad? I've been told that by people in the Lord's church. And I tell you, the way that they said it and the way they went about it, they said that they didn't want to be good. They wanted to be bad. And I tried to take it as a joke, but it didn't seem like it was a joke to me. We should desire to be good and be virtuous and desire to be good in every way. In Titus chapter 1, take a look over here. This is a command of the apostle to this young preacher, Titus. And he gives him here about the qualifications of a bishop, of a pastor of one of the Lord's churches. And in Titus chapter 1, verse number 8, listen to what it says. This is what the word of God says. But a lover of hospitality, the man of God should be a lover of good men. He's to be a lover of good men. And that tells me that there can be, in the Lord, there can be some good men. If he's to be a lover of good men. Yes, I know what we've been saved from, and in and of ourselves there dwelleth no good thing. But we've got the Spirit of God living within. We've been changed. We're a child of the King. We're joint heirs with Christ. We've got the Spirit of God living within us. We are to be good. We hate our sin. We should repent of it and get it right before the Lord. But we are known, or to be known, and have a witness and testimony of being good because of the Lord. John chapter 3 says that our good works would be witnessed by others and that they would praise the Lord. Amen? It's not for self. It's never, look how good I am. It's never about that. Never about that. But we are to be good and a lover of those that are good. Prove all things, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from it. We want to give more time to that, and we'll deal with that next time. I want you to think about that. Chew on that. Abstain from all appearance of evil. How do we see the appearance of evil? It's a marvel how our eye is made. I'm glad to have an eye doctor that believes that God created the eye. I really enjoy visiting with him. And he's told me things about how the Lord's created the eye and the different provision that's made in it and the wonder of it and that. I tell you what, it's a blessing to learn about those things. I had never... or I guess if I learned it in school, I forgot it. But he's brought that back for me. How is it that we see the appearance of things? I'll tell you what, the eye gate is a very serious conduit into the heart and soul, isn't it? I mean, the eye gate, that's the reason that the Satan in the world is on the attack. To the eye gate. The thing is, the things we take in the eye gate, we can't necessarily get rid of. And so we're going to take a look at more of that next time. A church that the apostle's writing to and admonishing them in good, right things.